great to be able to say hi to you on this Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, a day we've been looking forward to and one that we celebrate every single year with joy and with expectation and hope as well for the future. Christ is risen. I think you need to shout a bit louder. You need to respond. He is risen indeed. Shall we try that again? Christ is risen. That was much better, and great to hear you resounding with the confidence that he is risen indeed. Of course, the resurrection of Jesus means that everything the Bible says about Jesus is true, that forgiveness is possible, that death is overcome, because resurrection changes now and the future as well. And for the next 40 days, between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we're going to explore the encounters that people had with Jesus as recorded in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And I want to invite you not only to join us over the next 6 Sundays as we take these 40 days with Jesus, but we're also going to be issuing a podcast every single day. The first one goes out this evening, Sunday evening, and just a few more thoughts and opportunity for reflection for you to make a very personal journey in this encounter with Jesus. So look out for the podcast on our website or from your usual podcast provider, and there'll be something every day now for 40 days, starting this evening, for you to just dig a little bit deeper and personally encounter Jesus, the risen Lord. So today we're going to start the whole series, and we're going to be looking at John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. So if you want to grab your Bible and open that up, and then we're going to hear it as it's read to us right now.
Today's reading is taken from John 20, verses 1 to 18, the empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying in there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking it was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
So keep your Bibles open, and we're going to look at this first encounter with Jesus. Resurrection, of course, is at the front and centre of the Christian faith. In fact, Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 17 says, "Without it, faith is futile." So that's why we need to explore this a little bit more. And in the best tradition of Sherlock Holmes or Miss Marple or Hercule Poirot or Cagney and Lacey or Starsky and Hutch or Jonathan Creek or Columbo or Vera or any other detective that you like and enjoy watching, there is plenty of evidence for us to explore to see that this is true. In John chapter 20, verse 2, we see that Jesus is not in the tomb. That's our first clue, really. The body is gone. But of course, the tomb wasn't empty. Take a look at verse 5 of John chapter 20. Peter bent over, looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped round Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. You see, the linen cloth was still in the tomb. The wrappings that they'd wrapped Jesus up with when they put his body in there, they were still there. In fact, they were the most valuable thing that was in that tomb. And yet they were there. The piece that was wrapped round his head was still lying in place. Now, in Jewish customs, if you were to go and have a meal with a friend and you enjoyed the meal, you would take your napkin at the end of the meal, you'd crumple it up and you'd leave it on the table as if to say, I love this meal so much, I'm going to come back soon and have another one with you. But if you went to a friend and had a meal with them and you folded up your napkin and put it on the table, you were saying, I didn't enjoy this meal and I have no intention of coming back. Now, I don't advocate that you try that at home very often. So why was Jesus' cloth folded up? I think it's just signifying he didn't enjoy death and he has no plans of going back there or going back into the tomb. He's alive and it's affirmed even with the simple evidence of that linen cloth being left there. Right in the middle of history, Jesus came back to life. And as verse 8 of John 20 says, they saw it and they believed it. So what is there that we can gain from this resurrection moment? Over 40 days since this, from this resurrection day, over 500 other people saw Jesus alive on 11 different occasions. And on every occasion, the people who saw him were convinced that he was alive. And as a result of it, their whole lives changed. The disciples went back to where they were staying, John chapter 20, verse 10. But Mary stayed, weeping, and she took another look inside. And it was that second look that transformed her perspective that day. So today, as we start this 40 days journey, let's with Mary take another look inside, shall we? And see what difference resurrection could make for us, for me, for you, for our world at this very particular time. So firstly, I want to say that resurrection shows that light overcomes the darkness. When it was still dark, John writes, Mary arrives at the tomb. The sun is about to rise. The light is about to dawn. And even though she'd seen that Jesus' body wasn't in there, she stands outside the tomb weeping. But something's beginning to happen. Mary takes that crucial step. She bent over to look into the tomb. Now you can feel the tension building. If we were filming this in reality, of course, the music would begin to soar. Those strings would go up and up and up to a climax point. And in verse 14, the climax comes. Mary turns round. Now the word that's used here in the Greek is, it means to convert by changing, to switch direction, to go the other way, to about face. It's signifying a dynamic change. Mary turns round. Away from the empty tomb, she turns towards something else. This change of heart and mind that takes life in a completely different direction. That's what resurrection looks like. Light overcomes the darkness. And she turns round and she sees Jesus standing there. Now, of course, in our text, she doesn't recognise who it is, although I guess she wasn't really expecting Jesus. But the light is coming as Jesus, the gardener, asks her why she's crying when the tomb is empty. What is it she's looking for? And she confronts her deepest desire and hope begins to rise. Here is someone who might be able to help her, someone who might be able to shed light in the midst of her darkness. See, and this is Jesus. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What a promise. If you follow Jesus, you will never walk in darkness. That is true freedom. That is the resurrection experience, that he's really alive. Maybe fear is dominating your life right now. Perhaps it does feel dark. There is uncertainty. There is doubt. But that doubt is just a small step away from faith. Perhaps you are stood outside the tomb crying today, and you just need to take another look in. Perhaps like Mary, you need to turn around today and face where the light is really coming from. The light that overcomes the darkness. When Mary turned around, the darkness began to fall away. Can I urge you to take another look and let light overcome the darkness today? Secondly, love overcomes despair. In verse 16 of John 20, Jesus said to her, Mary. One simple word. He calls her by name and she turns towards him. So not only now she's turning round to see light overcoming darkness, she's now turning towards him as a sign that love overcomes despair. When she heard her name, Mary felt, she experienced the love that she had experienced before in her life. And this love drew her away from the despair, and she felt once more that her life was being drawn towards Jesus. The disciples had turned around and gone back to where they were staying. But Mary turned towards the new life that was once again being offered to her. Mary. Can you imagine how Jesus said that? Was it a question? Was it love? Well, Mary's response was to say back to her, Rabboni, which John very helpfully in parenthesis tells us means teacher. But of course, for Mary, this wasn't just any teacher. This was Jesus. It's you. Is it really you? And fear begins to be replaced by love. Jesus doesn't just leave us looking at him. The resurrection propels us towards him to begin to live in the light of this new reality. When he calls our name, it demands a response. The future promises that he made now crash into the present. And meeting Jesus is meeting someone who knows what is going on better than we do. Despair gets overwhelmed by love because the worry and anxiety of those moments for Mary have been overcome by the love of Jesus as he calls her name. And for us too, resurrection dismisses our fears if we will believe it and trust it. Despair affects us all at times, of course. We've made bad choices. We've had to face the consequences. For some of us, even now, that despair has risen again. Maybe the loss of work or financial challenges, the loss of a relationship that was important to us, or perhaps like Mary, the actual loss of a loved one. It feels like our world has caved in. Sometimes it could just be that sense of emptiness or loss of purpose, even now. During this current crisis, of course, mental health issues begin to affect many, many more people as we battle and wrestle against the heightened sense of loneliness or isolation. But the good news about Easter Day and this encounter that Mary had with Jesus is that the love of Jesus can help us come through some of the most trying and turbulent times in our lives. Four times John mentions in this passage that Mary is crying. But then she starts turning towards Jesus. She knows that she's been forgiven much. And as Jesus reminded us, those who have been forgiven much, love much. Some of us may have stuff going on in our lives that we need to find freedom from today. And maybe this is the time when we've been reflecting back on what that could be. There's a promise here. The Bible says that when we turn towards Jesus, when we seek him, we'll find him. And when we do, his love will overcome the despair. This morning, the resurrected Jesus invites you to turn towards him and respond to him. He invites you to come closer to hear him call your name. Isaiah 43 says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour." See, love overcomes despair. And finally, life overcomes death. This encounter with Jesus for Mary is the life and death changing moment for her. And she declares in verse 18, "I have seen the Lord." Life overcomes death. The resurrection, the ultimate promise of life that has overcome death. Death is not the end. It has no grip on us. And Jesus again says to us, John 11, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." And then he asks the question, "Do you believe this? Do you believe this?" This wonderful twofold promise. Firstly, that physical death is nothing to be feared because now physical death is not the end. And secondly, even in this life, we can start to enjoy real life, eternal life, love, joy and peace on the inside from today. Forgiveness for our past and hope for a future start right now because life has overcome death. I don't know how long we're going to be in this like Easter Saturday moment. You know that day between Good Friday and Easter Day, that day when it seems like nothing is happening. We may be going through this for a lot longer than we hope for, but there are always green shoots of resurrection just around the corner. Because it wasn't like nothing happened on Easter Saturday. We were getting ready for Easter Day, for resurrection. And as we live in these moments, please be assured that resurrection has happened, that Jesus is alive, that light has overcome the darkness, that love has overcome despair, and that life has overcome death. Resurrection reminds us of what has gone before, that there has been pain and there was death. But it also tells us and shouts at us today of what is now and is to come, life in all its fullness. Through Jesus, we have an invitation to know God as Father. And when you know the love of God the Father, everything changes. His love will fill your whole being with joy and peace. Even in the midst of trying circumstances and challenges of life, we can live today full of hope. So will you step out of the darkness and see the light of resurrection? Will you, like Mary, take another look at it today? Will you put down the despair of the circumstances around us all right now and turn round and see Jesus? And will you let life overcome fear and turn towards him to walk in his direction and speak the same words of faith that Mary spoke that day? "I have seen the Lord." Let hope explode into joy today and every day because Jesus is alive. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's pray. Father, today we want to thank you. Our hearts burst out with joy because of all that you have done for us. And I pray today and every day we will live in the light of resurrection, that we will know with confidence your presence and your power at work in us and through us, and that we would know that we are children of the risen Lord Jesus. May that faith, may that truth explode in our lives, and may we walk into tomorrow with a renewed confidence because of today. Father, for those times when we've taken our eyes off you, when we've walked towards other things, we ask your forgiveness. We're sorry for the things that have gone wrong, but today we are drawn towards you again. Thank you for that forgiveness that flows from the cross and the life that bursts out of the tomb. May that be our reality today and every day. Amen. So do dig in a little bit deeper to that passage and do listen into the podcast as we explore that in a bit more detail this week. And we look forward to week 2 next Sunday of 40 Days with Jesus as we continue this journey together. God bless you. Have a great day.